Good morning. Good to see everybody here. We have a deacon's meeting on September 25th, and then the Lord's Supper will be on October 30th. And also, it's still in the planning phases, but I think we're thinking about Tom's memorial service being on October 1st at 10 a.m. We're not sure on that, but that's a, you know, might be. Yeah. So that may happen that day. So just keep it in mind, and it's going to be here. So that's a Saturday, but that could change. We'll see how it goes. We'll just plan it by ear as we go. And, of course, keep the Jackson family and the caregivers in your prayers. We know that that's a not always an easy road to come out of, but we also know that the Lord is a lot is always there for us in those times too. So just continue to pray for them. And I think that is all I have. So today we are in The Essence of God, Love, number 18 and 19. Moving right along. I think I'm not sure which one has the prize on the, which attribute receives the prize, but this one's getting up there. I think we went into the 20s on righteousness and justice, if I remember right. I can't remember, but anyways, this is where we are. So before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer, and that just simply means that we can confess our sins silently. That's between you and God the Father. And He will then cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as 1 John 1:9 tells us. And then we are able to grow in the Word and also apply the Word in our daily lives, live it. And so let's go ahead and take care of that, and then I'll pray. Dear Father, we are grateful to be here, thankful for Your Word, thankful for the spiritual life that You've given us access to and the ability to live it through You. And we just thank You for everything that You're doing in our lives. We know You always have a plan and a purpose in everything that happens to us. And we just pray that we can always look to You for solutions and look to You to wade our way through this life. We thank You for Jesus Christ. And we just ask for concentration today, ask for clarity in the Word so we can remember it, and also to change our thinking by it. So we thank You for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So on Wednesday, if you remember, we kind of explored what Paul meant by being a slave to all. He had mentioned that kind of wording, and part of the purpose, we said, was to bring people closer to God. Remember his being a slave of Christ, he wasn't quiet about it. He introduced it in a lot of his letters and let people know what he was all about. And Paul was in a place in his life where he knew not only what God had for his life personally, he knew that he was in a place that God was using him in an immense way. And so that's where I think we're kind of going as believers in Jesus Christ. We make our way down that path, right? We discover our spiritual gifts. We open our, kind of drop our guard when it comes to God using us. We don't resist as much as we get down the path. And Paul is no resistance at this point. And so when you get there, and I think we all need to get there eventually, is we need to have no resistance as far as God's will for our life. Let Him lead, per se. And so that's where Paul is. And remember, that word was to gain or to win them over to Christ. And that was that investment that Paul was referring to. That was that effort that was placed in being a slave to Christ toward other people. There's an investment, right? There's always a time. There's always a sacrifice. There's always many different things that you'll do and go through in your, wherever you are as a believer. And God will use you. But we have to remember that it is service. It definitely is service. You're serving, first God through Jesus Christ and who you're serving is people. So I think that was a big part. And in that investment includes, remember, it starts at salvation. Paul was gaining them and he wasn't stopping there. He was continuing past salvation because people were being saved. And guess what happens? If you don't have that encouragement, that push, that motivation to continue in that direction, you'll just stay there just as a believer and not growing spiritually. So Paul says gain is that long-term investment. So, and we, you know, we often forget about that, or we think, you know, oh, I need to reach out to so-and-so because you know how difficult it can be. You didn't get here. It wasn't an easy road. I always think in my mind, it should be easier, shouldn't it? It should be easier to just jump on board and go get it and be faithful, and that's the end of the story. But it's not that way. And you need people to encourage you and to help you along the way. At the end of the day, I understand that it's our responsibility. I'm not taken away from that. But also, you're here for a purpose. And there's other people that are here that are less spiritually mature and need the encouragement from people like you. So, and I think that includes God's plan, right? That's what Paul's been talking about. So, and I think what Paul's bringing out is, or at least one of the things, is that there's always benefit to what we're doing towards other people. We want to encourage them, not to hamper them, not to hinder them. We want to encourage them because we want them to move in the right direction in their life. Whether they're searching for happiness or whether they're miserable in a relationship or you name it, right? It doesn't matter. The Word of God solves problems. That's what it does. God solves, is in the business of solving problems and providing peace, contentment in people's lives. And we want them to see and realize that fact. So I think we're all here to help. And that comes into play with service, serving the Lord on a personal level. So remember the verse talked about God creating us for divine works and to also walk in those works. So, and he gives you everything you need to do just that. He provides everything. He provides us the material, the word, the teaching, the truth that we need, the people, the facilities, the money, the finances, everything is there to do what we need to do. No doubt about it. You know, as I was going through this, I thought it's interesting to me that you offer someone something of an earthly value, they instantly take it, no questions asked. But you offer them something with spiritual value, they oftentimes question it, you know, put it on hold, not sure about it, right? They're not sure. There's a struggle. We're in Satan's world. This is Satan's world. It's not like just that it's a benefit, of course. We know from the Word that it is a soul spiritual benefit to them, and that's the only thing that's lasting. But they don't know that. So they're going to be very leery or hesitant. That's what we are most of the time in the spiritual life. We're hesitant about moving, taking that step forward in the Christian way of life. And so you see what the deal is, though, right? It's Satan's world, and he's here to deceive. Just because you know that something is a benefit doesn't mean that other people know, at least in the absolute sense. We're all learning and growing. And so in order for them to know, it takes that investment. It takes a little chunk here, a little chunk there, a little bit more there. And then all of a sudden, you know, they've grabbed onto that train that's moving. Before, they're just sitting there watching the people go by. And so that's where we're trying to get them to, where we want them to go in their life. So, and I think that all goes into play with the effort that you put in that investment. Your desire is God's desire. That's what the issue is here. Our desire, our objectives, our strategy lines up with God's for people. And so just because you're on board and you're positive and you're growing, that means all of a sudden now you can serve people that are not growing, that are not faithful, that are not believers, that are not there, because the whole idea here is that God wants people for himself. He wants them to have eternal life, number one, be with him forever, but he wants to have a relationship now. He wants to start now. And so why waste time, right? Why waste time when we have a limited amount of time on this earth? There's so, I mean, the days are numbered, you know, the days are numbered. We're all getting older and we feel it, and we remind ourselves of these things when we do different things, that our bodies are limited. Everybody knows, right? Yes, I know. We're all dragging in, but you get the point. It's a limited amount of time here, but it's interesting that the only lasting and eternal value are in the spiritual things. But you've got to somehow encourage and provide the information that people need, the little nuggets that you drop along the way that people can latch onto and follow you. Follow the Lord. He's the one who's really drawing them through you. See? So, and not to mention the contentment and joy that God provides us in the spiritual things. Because as you know, Satan will provide the physical or the earthly things, but they only last for so long. And the contentment that they provide only takes us so far, and then we're back to square one, and then you keep chasing the lemonade stand that constantly disappears. It's a mirage, is what it is. But that's not how the Word of God works. It's not how, because this is a spiritual, this is a thinking process that we're in here. And so when your thinking changes, guess what else changes? Your attitude on how you view things in life. And so it's not the end by any means. It's not just left wanting. The Word of God fulfills us, leaves us satisfied. And that's why we enjoy it. And I think why we keep coming back to it, because it always, it's never leaves us wanting. But people still reject spiritual things, as you well know, and truth. And the problem is that we live in a fallen world. We do. There's no, you know, can't beat around the bush there. We live in a fallen world. We have sin natures in us, part of us. We also know that Satan and the fallen angels are free to roam in this world. So there's a lot that comes into play when we're dealing with gaining people or getting them to see a better way in life. However you want to look at it, we're trying to move them in that direction. So there's a lot of outside forces, actually, and inside ourselves, that are pulling them to tell them to go in one direction, and you want them to go in the opposite direction. So you're trying to get them to have a change of mind. That's what we're getting to here. Remember, the scripture calls it repent, but all that means is a change of mind, right? So we just want them to get to a different viewpoint on how they think about a certain thing, specifically truth. Where is truth? What is truth? Is it absolute, or is it just true on a certain channel? Or is it true on this channel? Or are none of them true? Or is truth just in the Bible? So what is truth? Where is truth? Of course, we know that answer. We know God is absolute truth. And the only truth that we can live by is not by some news source or even by some, you know, one that you really like and you think is really true. It may be mostly true, but we can't live our life by that truth because it's not divine standards of truth that God offers us through his word. So that comes directly from his scripture. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up now, because yes, we are talking about love, but the reason I'm bringing this world and the pressures that we're involved in is because there are, in 2 Corinthians 4, we're looking at, remember Paul, we're talking about divine love, and 2 Corinthians 4 kind of leads us into where love leads us. You know, the more focused you become, the more God is going to use you in your life. And so that's kind of where Paul is taking us. And divine love gets to a place where it has an agenda and objective objectives that line up with God's, as we said earlier. And so evil has to be mentioned. Evil has to be mentioned. The sin nature has to be mentioned in this. Because if we're not paying attention to what Satan's doing or what's happening or his schemes, then we can easily get lost and discouraged as well. Because we're really dealing with two different kinds of objectives. Two. God's or Satan's. That's really the only two objectives. And they're actually mutually exclusive. They're opposite of each other. Two different objectives. And it boils down to really to those who are pro-God in the Bible and those who are not. There's really no in-between. You can even take a believer who is not growing spiritually, and I would say they're not pro-God. If you're not faithful, if you're not following God's word as He commands us in Scripture, what is that saying about you? It's saying that you've accepted the gift of salvation, but you haven't realized all what you have in that gift. You don't realize that you're here just because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that's the reason we're able to serve and walk this earth and live forever with Him. And of course, we have all those tensions involved here too, right? But in a similar way, with anything, whether it be a person or your country, just how as you have learned and grown over time to love your country because you live here. You function every day in this country, and there's certain things that you like about it. There's certain things you see could be better, but deep in your heart, that love draws you to see it in a better place. It doesn't, you don't look at it and say, I hope it goes right down the tube, right? You look at it in a way that you say, I wish it could do better. And you get to a point where you say, what can I do to make it better? We've all gotten that in our soul. Where is my part in this? How can I help get our country back, get it back on track, or get it to a place where we need to be going? Because at times, as you well know, you feel like you're just kind of sitting there and just watching it all happen, And it can be a little discouraging. I mean, we know God's in control, of course. But then you go back to, does He want me to take part in anything? I'm not trying to get you to go out and get any kind of, marches downtown or anything like that. But we do have a part to play. And it's serving God, number one, because He's using you invisibly, spiritually. And I think this is one of those areas that He's using as what Paul's coming, where Paul is coming from here. So there's obviously a battle. There's a battle here. That's what we're leading to. And there's some that are drawn into that battle from love, a love of God. They want to serve. They want to make better. They want to defeat the enemy. They want to push him back. They want to hinder him. Everything that God can do through you, we want to take part in that. So just as you have grown to love your country and you desire the best for it, that can only come from positive believers who are growing spiritually. We realize this. The only thing that can turn the country around is to refocus on God. To turn the country around would be to have a spiritual revival, I guess you could say, or to have something really bad happen and have a lot of people have a change of mind and then have a spiritual revival. So it's one of the two. It's either notice and wake up the easy way or notice and wake up the hard way. That's always how it goes in history. Either you keep going down a path of denial of God. And God is gracious. He's patient. His love is very patient. But it does have a limit. It does have a limit when it comes to His righteousness, His justice. It has to step in at some point and take action on sin and rejection of Him. And we're in a weird place, aren't we? We're in an unusual place. I was thinking about how other countries, you know, they go, it's easy to see how they go off the deep end. You know, it goes from just complete rejection of God, idolatry, Satan worship. It's easy. Okay, I understand that. We're in a different place. We're in a place where everybody is basically giving lip service to God. Not to God crowd. So it appears okay, but then you have a very limited number of positive and faithful believers. Very, very limited. I mean, I think the leadership is very clear and a very clear evidence of showing you where our country is at spiritually. It's not an accident how we have the people that are in office now. That's what we need, believe it or not, which is kind of scary. That's what we need. We need someone like that to maybe wake some people up, say, oh man, what's going on here? Spiritually, I'm referring to. So I think love is what draws you to that, to want to help, to want to change things, to want to have an input. And we need to start asking ourselves, where do we fit into the picture? Where do you fit into the picture? Because just like your love for anything, you have a passion for it. You desire to serve your country. You're willing to support, protect, and defend it. In a similar way, your love for God results in your desire to serve Him, to willingly support and defend your faith. It's no different. It's really no different. Because God's love, as we've seen very clearly through Jesus Christ, love takes action. Love takes action. Love came to us through Christ. God sent His Son to us to take action on our behalf. And I think our love also takes action too. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love God in that way. We wouldn't be here if He didn't love us. We're here because of His love for us. But love takes the initiative. It doesn't just passively sit back and watch something be torn apart. It doesn't do it. It doesn't stand for it. It can't sit back and watch something that it deeply cherishes and watch it just be picked apart. Or be put in danger. Or just slowly deteriorate from within until it's eventually destroyed. And when we apply this divine love towards our current situation, when it comes to our Christian service to God and other people, we have a big part to play in this spiritual battle. A big part to play. Very big part. There's not very many people that are in the ranks like you are. There's not very many people you can say you have a big spiritual part. They're in the world. They're too busy. They're making money. They got a family. You know, they got all this stuff to do, a career. They're in college. God is over here. That's not the concern. The country going like this, oh yeah, just time of day. The weather's bad today. It's just happening. They don't realize that everything happens for a reason. There's a purpose. Nothing is by accident. I mean, it's very easy not to think of it as a battle, isn't it? That's what Satan likes us to do. Oh, it's just life. This is just, you know, it's just life. Yeah. But it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And you can see that, I think, pretty clearly. By those in leadership positions of our country, supporting non-biblical views. Remember, I said you can break it down into two people, pro-God or against God, those against God. That's the reality that we're dealing with. And that's how we need to start viewing it. Because it's so subtle, it's unspoken, but that's the reality. Are the policies you're supporting pro-Bible? Are they aligned with the Word of God or are they not? Because people can see it and they'll still support someone that is not pro-God. We need to start taking these things seriously because that's what is causing that deterioration. Things like disregarding the rule of law, lying, stealing. I mean, you know the story. You have eyes, you have ears. Look at the work ethic in our youth. Look at the school system. Look at how your taxes are deceitfully and wrongfully being spent. Don't think much about that until you start to pay attention to where it's going. You're like, well, wait a minute. Look at the programs the corporations are dumping millions of dollars into. Look at all the corruption that revolves around money at everyone else's expense, like the medical system. The medical system. So it's no secret that there's two agendas, two objectives. One's pro-God and one is not. They have completely different goals, different motivations, and it's not surprising that every person falls into one of these categories, one of them. Jesus made the same distinction in John 3:19. He said, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world," Jesus Christ, "and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." There's the fear that they're walking around with. You don't want to be exposed, so you have to conceal. You have to do something really big to distract you to look over here, so they're not exposed. And it goes right back to what people love. It's either darkness or light. Truth. Unrighteousness. And sadly, we're dealing with many people who hate the light and whose deeds are evil. But in order to keep doing evil, they can't get close to the light because they fear that their unrighteousness will be exposed. So I think you can see that pretty clearly. Usually one kind of person likes transparency and one doesn't. That's a pretty easy way to figure out who is open, likes truth. Remember, we're talking about being exposed. If you're trying not to be exposed, you've got something to hide. So light exposes the darkness. Truth, righteousness exposes the unrighteousness. And it will eventually all be exposed. But at this moment in time, it's still, they can still cover, conceal, and hide. So, and we see that all the time in politicians. But now, you know where they're coming from. They live in constant fear of being exposed for what they really are. And that's got to be a rough life. If you're in constant fear of being exposed, always from doing something wrong, can you imagine? I don't know how you can even get a good night's sleep. Got to be measurable. Satan is described as the god of this world in our verses in 2 Corinthians 4:4, which is where we currently are. Remember, I went from verse 1 and I skipped down to verse 5. Is what happened, because I was making a point. But in the context of these verses, Paul is talking about evil. And I think for anybody who takes the great honor of going down this path of serving Christ, serving God, joining the Christian ranks, defending the faith, then we must learn to use and practice fighting with spiritual weapons. Remember, when I think spiritual weapons, I think Ephesians 6, right? We studied that. We've been there. I'm not going to go through that again. I would like to read it so we can get it in our brains of what we're dealing with here. And notice the commands in Ephesians, in these verses that I underlined. These are commands from God in the imperative mood. In other words, giving us an order to do something. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. There's the first command right there. There's where we find our strength to even fight. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. That's a command. so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. And then a command to stand firm. Stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is how we fight, right there. Truth, righteousness, the gospel. It's the only thing that's going to turn anything around. You know, when you talk about this stuff, you have to talk about where people are spiritually. I know you have eyes and ears, but you know, if it goes unspoken, it kind of goes, we just let it go by. And we know that if God is commanding us to do something, it requires us to carry out the command. It requires some effort on our part. You know, when I look at these commands, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God, take up the full armor, stand firm. This isn't referring to someone that is giving lip service to God. You can't do that. You can't do these things. This is talking about a faithful, consistent believer growing in truth and righteousness and prepared with the gospel is what this is referring to. In other words, all your gear is on. All your gear is on. The backpack's on. The boots are on. The belt. Everything. The sword. Right? We studied all those things. The truth. We need truth. If you don't have the weapons with you, how are you going to fight? How are you going to stand firm in something you're not really confident in? You can't do it. Notice the progression though. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. And it doesn't say to be strong in yourselves. We don't find strength in ourselves. We don't have enough. That's why it starts right off the bat to be strong in the Lord. Our only hope to win spiritual battles is to do them in God's power through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's why take up is a command here, since we have a moment by moment responsibility to take up these things. This is a daily taking up. You know, like a real anyone in law enforcement or even a soldier that is in combat, they do sleep. They do sleep, right? But when they wake up, they have to be 100% prepared, don't they? Yeah. Everything's right there next to them. They don't have it too far because it could be a time issue. If you're looking for a boot at 2 a.m, you got a problem, right? You can't run very far. So standing firm and taking up involve a moment by moment thing. This isn't just, oh yeah, I'm going to plan for this and when I get there, it'll happen. Satan doesn't play like that. He doesn't play fair. So we have to be prepared with always being in a state of readiness. That's where we have to be, I think, as believers in Jesus Christ. And so many people are passive when it comes to this stuff. Passive when it comes to other people who we're around, who are not pro-God and who are influencing you in your relationships. We need to notice things like that because you're being influenced. You've put your guard down. You're not standing firm because now you're out of fellowship and you're entertaining something that you shouldn't be entertaining. Satan's very subtle. He's very subtle. And he works in subtle ways. And he knows that when we get to a place in our life when things are going, seem to be going okay. Look, he has eyes and ears too. And he knows when things are going well in your family. And he knows when things are not going well in your family. Or in your relationships. Or in your workplace. And so guess when he comes around or when he has his however many fallen angels come around. So just to stir the pot. Always prepared. And what Paul is showing us in the Corinthians is when our master is God, remember we're talking about service, love, then we put ourselves under his authority And that includes responding to your calling wherever God has placed you in life and with the gifts he's given you, which all have to do with that love, that reciprocal love back to God. I think all these things go into play. They all go into play. How much of a desire, how much of a passion, how much love is there if we're just watching? If we're just watching. I'm not saying you have to go take up arms, but what I'm saying is if we're going to fight spiritual battles, we have to do it correctly. We have to at least take note of that's where what we're fighting against is spiritual. And you know, not a lot of Christians choose to continue to advance in the spiritual life. Many choose to stay in a place that is comfortable for them. They get to a certain level and they stop there. Everything's okay. I can still entertain the worldly side of me and I can still partake in the church side and just stay at this level. You know that's not a reality. You can't stay in one place. You're either going backwards or you're moving forward. That's the only two options there are. That's it. So if you're comfortable, you probably need to get moving. If you're comfortable in life, you probably need to start moving in one direction or the other. Because Satan will provide you as many physical comforts as he can because he knows they don't last too long. So he's going to keep pushing them to you. If he can keep you distracted, he will. Love is what drives you forward in the spiritual life to accept the mission God placed before you. That's what it does. And I mentioned this last time, but we all come to a place of questioning our ability to press on or to do the job that God has for us. But I think it's through those moments and experiences that God gives us the strength. In those bottom moments, when you say why, is where we can find something that God offers us and turn that around. God offers us things when we are at our lowest points. We just have to see them, realize them, and trust in him with them. And see, every time we make a turn, it's always in those times. It's always in those lowest times when we're unsure, when we're unstable, when we're just willing to just stop, throw in the flag, I'm out of here, right? God always comes in and just gives us that breath of fresh air and pushes us along the way because it's not based on our strength. It's not based on us. But we get to the point where we think it's based on us. We think it's in my strength. And that's when we get to those places where we say, I can't do this. No, you can't. You weren't designed to do it. You weren't designed to do it. That's how the spiritual life is designed. It's designed to lean on God, lean on his strength, and have him fight for you. We're the ones that are supposed to sit back and watch him. Now, is that being active? Is that being strong in the Lord? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because that takes an effort on your part of staying in the Word. Of staying in the Word. So you have to make decisions at least in the right direction. And you have to accept what God gives you in life. A lot of people don't accept it. So, and since our objectives are now in line with God's, as we brought out Wednesday, those objectives include what this last command says, standing firm. God is commanding us to stand firm. In other words, hold your position. Hold your position. You know, we can think about offense and defense. That's fine. But this is referring to standing firm. Not just standing there, but standing there away and defending your position. Not backing up, not retreating. Defending to me means shooting and defending. You can't defend and stand firm and just stand there. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Here's the verses where we're studying. And remember, I went from verse 1 to 5, and I'll just go ahead and read these because it does talk about evil. Therefore, we have this ministry. As we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. We studied that verse. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We just talked about the weak conscience. This is the same word for conscience. We are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Remember, we looked at the weak conscience, and we were careful that God showed us not to defile the weak conscience. And we see what some are doing here. Paul's pointing out some are walking in craftiness, which is another word for deceit. Adulterating the word of God, which means to make false through deception or distortion. See that a lot. Falsify. But then we are to do just the opposite. Manifesting the truth. Manifesting the truth is an interesting word. It means to disclose it, to reveal it, to proclaim it, to openly live by it. See, there's those two objectives right there. One conceals, one exposes the truth. If you're going to conceal the truth, that means there's something to hide. So there's one of your objectives right there, to reveal it, proclaim it. And here's the key, to openly live by it. That's one of the ways we can reveal it right there. If God is going to shine light through you to the world, you've got to live by it. There's no light coming through your life if you're concealing. And I'm not talking about you have to go on a street corner with a microphone. I'm talking about living by truth. People pick up on you, the way you live and how you live it and what you stand for just by the decisions and the actions and what you say. That it's easy to pick up on, right? It's no secret. To disclose it, another word for manifesting the truth. That means to expose it to someone's view. Make something clear that was not otherwise clear. Isn't Satan described as the great deceiver of the whole world in Revelation 12:9? His job is to cover in darkness, and ours is to expose with light. Expose. So that's a good thing. And then here we go to verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, dying, in whose case the God of this world, their Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. So Paul's kind of dumping on us at the end there his mission and where he stands in his position in Christ. And notice that there's our word again, slaves. Slaves for Jesus. Christ is the master. He's the authority over all, the owner, or the one who is in charge, you could say. And Paul's the slave. So he's saying that he's getting under that authority and preaching it, exposing it, talking about it, living it. And then verse 6, for God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Talk about standing firm. That's what Paul's doing right here. He's talking about shining a light out of the darkness. Out of the darkness. In darkness, you know, we need to see. People need to see the truth. They need to know the truth. They need to take note of the truth. What is the truth? How do you live like that? How can you have that attitude? Goes back to truth. The same God who created the physical light and who is the spiritual light of the world, and who said his light will shine out of darkness, has also shone in your hearts. That exact same light is in your heart. We're talking about God himself in you, and you being able to think with his same exact thoughts, which are light, righteousness. Which is the reason Paul is dedicated to his service to God and also to the Corinthians. A slave. He's a slave. Slave of Christ. The word shine in this verse is lampo. Isn't that interesting? Where we get our word lamp. Lampo. It means to shine or give light. And sadly, it doesn't seem like there's very many believers that are brightly shining in our cities and towns. Which, lucky you, that means you get to pick the slack up. You get to pick up the slack. There's not a lot of light shining out there. There's not a lot of truth coming through that we can see. And remember, we're in a place that's very subtle. It's very subtle. It's a subtle rejection. It's not an out open rejection. This is how people are thinking rejection. Things that we can't see. So we sometimes even fall in the trap that, oh, nothing's happening. Just take a look around you. Things don't get bad for no reason at all. This is the spiritual status of our country. We're just not out open in front idolatry worship, but it's still a rejection of God. It's just more subtle. It's just because I don't want you to see that I'm rejecting God. So I'm going to act like I'm an okay person. I do good things, this and that. You know what? God is about over all that. We only have one word of God. That's it. How many religions we have? Thousands. Thousands. And they all disagree. They all disagree. One word, one meaning, one viewpoint, thousands of religions. So go figure. That's where we are as a country. Subtlety. The subtlety of religion. Satan knows what he's doing. He's going to take the word of God and he's going to make it different from you. He's going to make it different for you and he's going to make it different for you. And he's going to sit back and just laugh because y'all are all talking about different things that don't mean the exact same thing. What's wrong with that picture? Everything. Everything. That's where we are. And when stuff like that goes on, guess what happens? It's so subtle that the bottom has to drop out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. It could happen any day. Any day now. I'm not saying it's going to, but that's how it's going to work. Because it's so subtle, and it's leading and deteriorating within, it's the bottom's just going to fall out. That's how it's going to happen. It's been long enough, right? I'm fed up. You're fed up with it. I'm actually to the point where I'm praying on God to hurry up. That's right. Hurry up. All I know is he's got more patience than I do. Thank God for that. So, you know what? We're going to have to suffer too. But God protects his people. I'm ready to suffer if that's what it takes. So, love will take you to places that you sometimes don't expect you will go. But I think God desires us to go in this direction. So we'll keep going. And when we come back, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for seeing the truth of the situation through your word, through your ability to shine in our hearts and to show us that truth. And we thank you for being able to be equipped with the gospel. We know that Jesus Christ provided our salvation, provided a way for people to be saved from eternal condemnation, because we know we're born into death, but you provided life through Jesus Christ. And your word tells us that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And that's how simple it is to know that your grace provided it, and it comes through faith. It's a gift of God. And we're so grateful to be able to have the opportunity to not only have that gift through faith, but also to be able to talk about it and present it to others. So we thank you so much for these things, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.